The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped him and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these 3, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, welcome back, everybody. Thought what we would do here today is we talk about our first reading from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. Now, the story of the Good Samaritan is a magnificent parable, one of Jesus' finest parables, but this is the 4th time this year that we've heard it, believe it or not. On the other hand, Galatians, you only get to hear that once every other year for about 10 days. We start today, so just a little tiny bit about Galatians for you. Just a word of curiosity about Galatians. By some reckonings, it's the oldest writing in the New Testament. By some reckonings. Now, here's a brief overview of Galatians. First of all, understand that the Galatians wasn't so much a region as it was a people. And they happened to live at this time in central Turkey. They were a nomadic people. And the basic message of Paul to the Galatians is to look for your salvation in Jesus Christ, not the works of your own hands or in your own efforts. It might sound like a real Christian basic, but you know, at some point in your life, you come to the realization just what it means that you are a sinful man or sinful woman. You remember sins that you've committed in your past. You become aware of sins that you're committing all the time and seem almost powerless to stop. And when you realize that, you got 2 choices. Either you can sink into despair, or you can begin to learn what it means that Jesus is a Savior. That's Paul's message to the Galatians. Now, today's excerpt from the first reading, it's really all about persecution, because here's what was happening. It turns out that there were a group of early Christians and Jews that were being persecuted. Now, you've heard of the Roman persecutions of the ancient church, but did you know that the very first persecutions of the Christians didn't come from the Romans? They actually came from the Jews. Because at this time, Christianity was so new that they didn't see it as a different religion at all. They saw it, rather, as a perversion of Judaism, and they attacked what they thought was their fellow Jew for just perverting the faith. So in Galatia, what they did was that they tried to make their Christian faith as Jewish as possible by keeping all the rules of the Mosaic law. I'm talking about circumcision. I'm talking about dietary laws and purification, all the laws of Moses from Mount Sinai. And they figured that if I look just like a Jew, maybe I could avoid persecution. St. Paul comes along and says, stop. The blood of Christ is what justifies you in God's sight, not the works of the Mosaic law. So stop trying to please other people. And he concludes this whole thought with his great line, if I'm trying to please man, I am most definitely not serving Christ. And that's actually the line that I would ask you to focus on these days, because it's just as true now for it was as it was for the Galatians. Tell me if this doesn't sound familiar. You live in a world in which the gospel is received by the surrounding culture with hostility. And you don't like that hostility. You want to fit in. You want to be welcomed and accepted. And you want everyone to realize how great the gospel is. And so there's a temptation to try to minimize the requirements of the gospel with the hope of fitting in with the surrounding culture. That's what the Galatians were tempted with too. Paul says, don't. Stop it. If you do that, you succeed in persuading nobody. Secondly, you lose the very gospel you're trying to proclaim. And thirdly, and most importantly, you are most certainly not serving Christ. Because, you know, in the past 50 years, especially, maybe the past 60 years or so, the church has been swamped with this deadly temptation to want to fit in with the surrounding culture, especially in those areas in which we clash most with the surrounding culture, and a temptation to minimize the requirements of what the gospel asks of us in the hope of maybe persuading people by becoming more like them. Maybe we'll fit in. Paul says it's a fool's errand. I think of four things in particular in which the church has tried to minimize the requirements of the gospel in areas in which we've clashed with the prevailing culture. You could say, first of all, the preeminent, unique role of Christ as the only Savior, not one path among many. Secondly, another area, the reality of hell and the idea that many, many people go there. Very embarrassing. Thirdly, the sanctity of human sexuality and its proper place only in the covenant and wedded union of matrimony. And fourthly, the sanctity and respect for human life. Four areas in which we try to say, well, you know, the gospel doesn't really say this or that. Even for among people who are devout and come to church, there are areas of the gospel that we try to minimize and look away from. I can think of four more. Number one, Christ's teaching on money. You know, you hear those things when Christ says, you can't love God and money. And we try to say, well, you know, it doesn't really apply to me. Number two, God's mercy to the most sinful people. Number three, gossip and judgmentalness. And number four, our temptation to want to be comfortable and safe and not to go outside of our comfort zone and reach out to those who are most lost. If none of those things trouble your conscience when you hear them, you need to be doing a better examination of conscience. Because, you know, in the last 50 years, this is just a personal reflection now, we've had a couple of crises in the church. The first crisis in the church was a crisis of orthodoxy. Ever since Paul VI came out with Humanae Vitae and contraception, there's been this idea that all of our teachings are up for grabs, right? That everything's up for grabs. And the way we would deal with this crisis of orthodoxy in our church was to just to try to be more orthodox, right? Try to follow all the teachings of the church. But, you know, in the last few years, we've had another crisis in the church. The last 10 or 20 years, and generally speaking, it's a crisis in which both Christ and the church seem to be so utterly unnecessary that secularism alone is all we need. Our solution to the first crisis in the church was to be orthodox. The only solution to the second crisis is to become a saint. And you want to know where sanctity begins? It begins by asking yourself this question. Who am I trying to please? Am I trying to please God in my efforts, or am I trying to please man? What is the end goal of my efforts, of all of my labors? Is it the visible approval of other people? Or is it the invisible approval of Christ? Saints begin by understanding that they care more about what Christ thinks of them, regardless of what others think, than they care about what others think of them, at the expense of what Christ thinks. In all of this, we don't need to be provocative. We don't need to do anything more than bear witness to the gospel, but please, understand that we will always face this temptation to want to minimize what Christ asks of us in this false hope of fitting in with the world and thinking that people will accept the gospel. It's just not true. That's what St. Paul said to the Galatians, and it's essentially what he says to us as well. Don't take your light and hide it under a bushel basket. Place it on a lampstand for all the world to see, and seek first the approval of Jesus Christ. What must I do to inherit eternal life? The scholar of the law asked. And he said in reply, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Jesus said to him and to us as well, do this and you will live and become a blessing for all those who know you as well. Amen.